You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus, making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Oklahoma, yes sir, the Purple Project Podcast, recording a few hours later from a big upset victory down in Norman. The Purple Project Podcast, all about the latest in K-State athletics. Folks, recording on this Saturday night. Yeah, I usually record these things on Sunday or on Monday, but I got some races to watch tomorrow night. And of course, the big Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Ravens. Before I bring Alex on, of course, the Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Radio.com, SoundCloud, and more. The Purple Project Podcast, the latest K-State podcast here in Manhattan, Kansas. Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan, Kansas, and out west, my co-host Alex Aiden. Alex, what's up, man?
Good Saturday, Eddie. Eddie, good Saturday to you. Good Saturday to me. Good Saturday to us all. So, it's last week on the podcast. Felt like just yesterday. I was listening to it. Last week on the podcast, I told you, I said, this season's just going to be, you know, more unpredictable and wacky than any season that we can ever remember it. This game just plays to it, you know. You lose to Arkansas State week one, and you know you follow it up coming out and beating Oklahoma on the road, number 3 in the country, week two. You know, that makes perfect sense, you know. Of course it makes sense. So, K-State was a 28-point underdog, and, you know, find a way to come out on top for the second year in a row on Oklahoma. Just crazy. Just crazy. 2 years in a row, Eddie. 2 years in a row they've beaten Oklahoma. And, fun fact, K-State is 3-2 in Norman, their last five trips there.
Yeah, that is that. That's one of the stats that you took right out of my mouth, Alex. K-State, as Alex said, basically a 4-touchdown underdog. This afternoon, upset OU in Norman, 38-35, in a miraculous come-behind effort. The definition of the team. And this was, I gotta tell you, this was really close. All the rumors, all the podcasts, all the articles saying that we might not even be able to play this game. We might have to wait a couple of weeks to play this game on October 17th. That was really starting to make waves. And then late yesterday, everything got cleared out. It was clear to go for K-State to go down to Oklahoma and get ready for the game. Which, wow, okay, the word of the day is grit. This team, I tell you, it's something else. I mean, we talked about it last week on the podcast. It's an unknown, week-to-week basis, and K-State found a way to win once again. Last year at home, it was different. K-State came out, jumped on Oklahoma, big lead, had to hang on. Mentioned it on last week's episode of the podcast. Today, different story. OU jumps out in front. Of course, Spencer Rattler, #Rattler, the Rattler was rattled today. He did play like a freshman that second half. We'll get into all of that here momentarily. But yeah, K-State, huge come-from-behind victory. At one point in this game, they were trailing 35-14 in this game, and it looked like K-State was going to cover that spread. Oh, Scott Thompson said, not so fast. The defense today, which we're going to actually talk about here second, but I'm actually going to dive right on into it and talk about the special teams right off the bat. Boy, last week, Blake Lynch missing two easy field goals, makeable field goals, hits the biggest one. I know it's early in the season, hits his career-long 50-yard field goal to take the lead, and then K-State's defense took care of the rest. But this game turned on special teams. Another block punt by A.J. Parker. The second consecutive game of a block punt. And A.J. Parker, once again, like last year when he picked off Jalen Hurts, made his mark again in the special teams like K-State usually does in these big games. Blake Lynch cashes in on a field goal there late, and it basically everything took care of itself there. J-Mac, Jerron McPherson, after missing Arkansas State, boy, he knows how to lay the lumber and make big plays when it counts. Capped off the interception. Three interceptions off Spencer Rattler, Alex.
Yep. Three off of Spencer Rattler and Eddie, you know, looking at the special teams and beginning with them, they played a huge role. Obviously, 2 weeks ago when they played against Arkansas State, you know, there was some good in the special teams with the block punt that they had, as you mentioned. But there was a lot of bad in the special teams, a lot more bad than good.
Yeah.
Special teams 2 weeks ago against Arkansas State. And look, that's something that K-State prides themselves on. And I understand that it's Coach Kleiman's, it's only his second year, and that was more of the Bill Snyder regime that took pride in that, took pride in that special team. So I think K-State still takes pride in special teams. I think that was kind of embarrassing what they did outside of that block punt against Arkansas State.
Yeah.
And you saw the missed kicks, and that was very Blake Lynch-like, very on K-State-like, except for the Auburn game, 2015, and Jack Cantelli missed three field goals. But I'm going to go down that path. Blake Lynch is not Jack Cantelli. So I think we knew that. I think we knew he would bounce back.
Yeah.
I think we knew he would bounce back. And, you know, he just had a bad day. And you know, we know how good of a kicker he is. I wasn't worried about that personally, but, you know, look, if he made his kicks, K-State beats Arkansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the truth. I mean, that's just the truth. As bad as K-State was against Arkansas State, they were bad. They win if he makes his kicks. So, you know, that was kind of a tough pill to swallow, or made the pill a little more difficult to swallow because, like, Lynch missed those kicks. Then also K-State had some mishaps where they, on special teams, where there was the fake punt that Arkansas State ran, and they literally did what everybody knew was going to happen, and they were able to get the pass interference, I believe, or the hold or something like that, move the drive on. So K-State just did a lot of things that were not good special team-wise. This week, there was no big return, nothing flashy like that. It was more of let's start with the kickoff coverage. Sounds like something silly, or you know, but Oklahoma, they had times when K-State was getting those scores. They were getting good stops on their kickoff coverage, and Oklahoma wasn't getting past the 20-yard line a majority of the time. So Oklahoma was having to go a full field. They weren't getting to the 30, they weren't getting to the 35, they weren't getting to the 40. K-State was making them go a full 75, 80 yards every drive because their kickoff coverage was solid. And especially when they got the field goal, I believe it was when they got the field goal and they went up 30 to 35, they stopped them inside the 20 on that particular one. So, you know, the kickoff coverage was really good. Was happy with that. And then I also think that they were the punting. You know, when they came in, I thought their punt coverage was pretty good as well. I thought that they were more disciplined in that area than they were against Arkansas State. So some smaller things that people may not look at and may not think, but think of. But it's those little things, Eddie. It's those little things that win you games over Oklahoma. You know, it's the little things. Making them go a full field instead of going half of a field, or giving them something here, or giving them something there. So that was big for starters. And then obviously you get to the block punt. That was enormous, being able to block that punt. K-State already had the momentum. You could feel it. And then to block that punt and get the ball inside the 25. And then my daddy, there was no doubt that in my mind they were going to get a touchdown the way they were rolling at that point. I was like, they're going to punch this thing in. And in my mind, and we'll get to this more in the offense, but in my mind, that was touchdown or nothing. I mean, I was like, you know, you're going for a touchdown, you're not kicking a field goal there. Ended up being a moot point, which I thought it would be because their offense was really rolling at that point because they were scoring literally in like three plays practically every drive. But no, that was a huge block for them. And then the kick. The kick was enormous. Just getting back to that, you missed the kicks the week prior. You come out, you hit a 50-yarder to give you a three-point lead. Just an enormous kick. And I think there's a little question, Eddie. Do you send him out there? You know, he missed two kicks, missed multiple kicks the couple weeks prior. And do you trust him to kick a 50-yarder in a tie game against Oklahoma? Or do you want to send your offense out, who has been rolling, and put the ball in their hands to try to get a first down and milk the clock, run the clock all the way down, and try to get an easy field goal to win the game, which was another possibility. If K-State gets a first down there, Eddie, you know, they can run two more, maybe another minute and a half, even not getting a first down. They can just try to move the ball. They can try to get it in field goal range, see if they can milk that clock all the way down. So, I mean, I think that was a legitimate question. I saw some people saying they would have gone for it. Personally, I said send him out. I said send him out. This is your shot. He can make that kick. We know he can make it. Send him out. Take the lead. Your defense is proven. They can get stops. And, you know, rely on the defense. And that's exactly what K-State did. Blake Lynch made the kick. And then K-State had good kickoff coverage. And, you know, they were able to force Oklahoma into a punt. And then when K-State had to punt the ball back on that final drive, K-State once again pinned them deep and was going to make them go a full field to try to tie the game or win the game. So all around, really nice special teams day for K-State.
And we saw both punters, Alex, in this game, Jack Blummer and Ty Zittner, just like a couple weeks ago against Arkansas State. Jack Blummer,
yep.
Each of these guys punted three times. Blummer's average just under 40 yards per punt. His longest of the afternoon was 45. And then Ty Zittner also had three punts, average just over 40 yards. His longest of the afternoon against Oklahoma, 42 yards there. And he had two of those inside the Oklahoma 20-yard line there. So how huge was that, especially making a freshman quarterback like Spencer Rattler start there, trying to make that drive there. And yeah, he had a long ways to go there. And obviously, interception to end that game. Now, I want to give a final grade real quick for the special teams before we transfer into the defense here, which was made huge plays, especially in that second half. I mean, last game against Arkansas State was bad. It was really bad. You already mentioned it, Alex. And I'm going to give it, it's not going to be an A, I'm going to give it a solid B today, all around. And all. And in feature, we haven't mentioned this year the return of Joshua Youngblood back to return kicks today. We finally get to see him after he missed the Arkansas State game 2 weeks ago. So nothing spectacular on the kickoffs. Like you said, I agree, nothing too spectacular there. But overall, solid B, big improvement from Arkansas State for sure in my book. Alex, what's up with your grade?
Yeah, you know, I'm in the same boat. It was hard for me to give them an A just because they didn't do anything in the return game. So, you know, for me, I felt like to get an A, they really needed to make a play in every special team, you know, aspect. They didn't quite do that. They still had a really good day, though. I give them a B+. I give them a B+ because I went a little higher than the B because they obviously had a huge kick, which wasn't just an ordinary 50-yarder. It was a go-ahead. I think the situation was part of the reason for me bumping that grade up there. And then two punts inside the 20. I think that was a big thing. The good kickoffs, I thought that was important as well. And then being able to block the punt, that's a lot of good stuff. So I think they did about as much as you can do without getting an A. That they were really, really good. If they would have had one big return in there, I probably would have given them an A, but I'll give them a B+ for what they did.
All right, K-State upsetting Oklahoma for a second consecutive season. Chris Klieman owns Lincoln Riley 2-0. K-State gets Oklahoma, who is ranked third in the country heading into this game, 38-35. K-State's conference opener, if I might add it. K-State 1-0 in Big 12 play. Oklahoma drops to 0-1. 1-1 overall. Well, both teams are 1-1 now. K-State, it was a huge game, and we all thought that they would be on the wrong end of the spectrum. But again, K-State, again, like all college football, you know, you got to play the games on the field. I mean, this is what it's all about. College football is all about. K-State wasn't the only team to make a huge upset. We'll get into that on the back end of the show. Now transferring into the defense. Defense made enough big plays, especially in the first half, while the offense started out of the gates really slow. And we'll talk about the offense in the second half of the podcast. But the defense really held its own, especially in the second half of this game. I mentioned Jerron McPherson a few moments ago was missed dearly against Arkansas State. It was magnified big time, but putting out a third string Ryan Hennington back there, he didn't do much. McPherson's impact was critical. Justin Hughes also with double digits today. Justin Hughes with a big fourth down stop there in that ball game. McPherson, 11 tackles in this ball game. Justin Hughes ended up the game with 10. And it was I ran across the stat earlier. I believe this was the first time that K-State on defense had double digit tacklers going all the way back to just a couple years ago, Alex. Back against Baylor in 2018 when Eli Walker and common denominator Justin Hughes. Walker had 12 tackles in that ball game. Hughes had 11. I remember that game specifically because Justin Hughes was all over the field against Baylor in that game, and K-State should have won that ball game, but did not.
Yeah, I remember that game. Alex Barnes went off.
But yeah, Alex Barnes had a big game, and then yeah, K-State should have won that ball game. But anyways, though, not to ruin the good mood, though, Hughes, big game, and we talked about that on the last podcast. Justin Hughes starting to get his feet back in. He did that today as well. 3 interceptions, including not having 7 of your starters. 2 of them were corners. Lance Robinson did not play today. Neither did Keandre Thomas, the transfer from Minnesota, also did not play. And a Khalid Duke sighting today, Alex. He made 9 tackles. He was all over the field. He was putting pressure on Rattler. He was all over the field today. I was really impressed. And the hype that I've heard, Alex, all summer long, it's real. It's real.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I'm glad you brought up Khalid Duke. And I don't want to spoil anything for possibly later in the show if we possibly go over players of the game.
Well, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that.
I hope I'm not spoiling anything on my end. But I felt like I'll just call it what it is. I felt like Khalil Duke was possibly the most important player on the defense down the stretch. And the reason I felt that way, Eddie, is it became apparent to me. And I was watching the game. I'm actually at my parents' this weekend, I was watching it with them, and I leaned over to them halfway through the fourth quarter, and I said, Oklahoma can't block Khalil Duke. I said, they can't block him. They cannot block him. He is getting into the backfield every single play. And then the more I watched it, every single play, number 29 is in the backfield. In the tackle. We talked about this already. Didn't necessarily mean that he was making a tackle. Didn't necessarily mean that he was making a sack. Didn't necessarily mean he was batting the ball down. But he was getting in the backfield. I felt like on every single play. And I think that was a huge reason why Spencer Rattler was rattled. Because he kept getting knocked off his spot by Khalid Duke on every single play. He was pushing him out of the pocket. He was pushing him backwards. He was pushing him forwards. And there were a couple K-State players that got sacks late in that game, Eddie. And I believe that Bronson Massey got one of them.
Yeah, Bronson Massey got one late, yep.
And I believe that Kamari Gaines got the other. And those sacks were plays where Khalid Duke, if I recall on both of them, I know there were 2 sacks late in the game where Khalid Duke, it could have been the Wyatt Huber one too, I can't remember, but Khalid Duke got pressure and it forced him off the spot practically into traffic. so to speak. And I remember specifically that happening in the Massey one. And don't get me wrong, Bruce Massey made a great push up the gut there as well. But he kind of got forced into it a little bit because he didn't have anywhere to go because Cody Duke was closing in on him. So he was just so disruptive every single play in the fourth quarter. And Spencer Rattler couldn't get comfortable. And the offensive line couldn't block Khalid Duke. And Khalid Duke had an amazing spin move. He pulled a Frank Clark out as a Chiefs fan.
Why did I knew you were going to say that?
And I've seen Frank Clark do it multiple games. And Khalid Duke did it. He did the spin, man. He faked it one way, and he spun around the other side. And then he had a free shot at Rattler, and he was just making moves, man, every single play. And so I think that was the biggest reason why K-State's defense got going, was because they couldn't block Khalid Duke, and he was getting in the backfield every single time, and it was creating problems for their offense everywhere. And it led to interceptions, and it led to sacks, and it led to penalties, and it led to a lot of different things. So, first off, I got to start with him, because I just think that was so incredibly important on defense, and the sighting lived up to the hype, in my opinion. You talk about McPherson, oh my gosh, he was so missed in that first game, and to be able to have him out there, he played a spectacular game. He K-State's undermanned in the secondary, and they did a lot of what they were successful at, Eddie, was they were able to rush four and get to Rattler. Mm-hmm, and because they were able to rush four and get to Rattler, they were able to essentially protect their secondary more. They were able to put more guys in that secondary, play some two safety looks, no single highs or anything like that. And it protected the secondary that K-State had depleted a little bit more. If K-State couldn't have gotten pressure with four in that game, it would have been a lot easier for Oklahoma to be able to pick that defense apart. But they couldn't get any big plays because K-State was able to get that pressure up front. We talked about that prior to the game, the importance of K-State being able to get that pressure. So I think that McPherson, that helped him. I think he was that calming, was kind of that leader on the back end. And he made plays and kept him in front of him. He didn't get burned deep. I think that he really helped keep the secondary together there and helped them keep everything in front of them, because for the most part, they did a really nice job of keeping things in front of them. And, 11 tackles, one tackle for a loss. I thought that he, did a lot of nice things. And Joel Klatt talked about Jerome McPherson and what he did and how great of a game that he played. And I thought that he had it right on the head during the broadcast in what he was saying and what he was saying about what he means to the team. On that back. So, but that was important. And then I want to highlight A.J. Parker, because I thought he had a really good bounce back game.
He
made a lot of big plays, and he looked more like the A.J. Parker that we grew to love last year prior to his injury. We talked about it. He didn't look like A.J. Parker in week one. I personally felt like K-State was putting him in really bad positions, and I thought that was a big reason why. I thought I didn't think he got a lot of help covering, I can't even remember the receiver's name now, but you all know who I'm talking about. I thought they had trouble. I want to say Taylor. Either way, he had trouble. He didn't have the size to match up with him. And it was just hard for him, but he came back today, had a really nice game, made some big tackles at the line. They tried to run a couple screens, a couple quick plays, and he went up, made nice open field tackles there at the line. And he also had a really nice pass deflection, in the game as well. And they obviously blocked the punt. Getting to the special team. So he had a really, really good game. So, those are the three guys. And then I know you mentioned Justin Hughes, and quickly, having him out there is great. Justin Hughes, Elijah Sullivan, that group at the linebacking core, they can make plays. And just to round it out with the defense, Eddie, what we saw from the defense today was more of what I expected from the defense from the jump. We talked about you know, what is up with this defense? You know, what's going on? And then I know Klanderman came out this week, and he said that what disturbed him the most about the first week was the lack of intensity, the lack of intensity and the lack of on defense. And, you know, that's really what he wanted to see. And I'm paraphrasing that. I may not have said exactly how he said it, but it was essentially a lack of intensity on defense. He really wanted to see more of that. Well, we definitely saw K-State fight their tails off on defense. They, you know, they busted their tails. They kept things in front of them. They were way more aggressive defensively, in my personal opinion. You know, maybe that was partially Oklahoma's offensive line not blocking very well, but I think that they did a lot more things than I was expecting them to do coming into the season, and I personally think that that's more of the K-State defense that you can expect, especially when they get healthy. And granted, they may not be healthy all year long because of COVID. I know they mentioned today that K-State had 7 guys out with COVID specifically today, but either way, when you're not as depleted in the secondary and you're a little healthier on defense, I think you really can expect that type of performance. So I think that what we saw today is more indicative of what we'll see from K-State's defense moving forward. I don't think what we saw against Arkansas State is what we will see. So it was encouraging to see what they did. And the fact that, yes, they gave up a lot of yards, but they never broke. Eddie, they never broke. They kept K-State in their game just enough to be able to get things revving up and get things going. And then they made stops at the most important times, and that's the sign of a good defense.
Yeah, and Joe Klanderman's unit definitely answered the bell, especially in the second half, shutting out Oklahoma in the fourth quarter, 17-0. Big part of that rally, that defense stepped up, and some unsung heroes on that defense today as well. We talked about on this podcast the whole COVID situation. Unsung heroes stepped up into play. Well, first off, though, good sign to see Wayne Jones back at safety along with McPherson back there as well. Wayne Jones, that scary hit a couple weeks ago at Arkansas State. Glad to see him back out there and making his presence known in the secondary as well. But a name in here, there are a couple of names in here that I want to get in here real quick before we get grades out. And I might butcher his name, but he was making some critical plays for the K-State secondary. Ecal Boydo, number 25.
Oh yes.
he was huge with K-State today. Of course, with Lance Robinson out and oh gosh, Keandre Thomas, Boydo came up with some big plays in this ball game. He deserves some credit in here. It's next man up mentality. You hear in college football, you hear in sports. I mean, guy goes down or somebody goes out, next man up, you gotta step up. And Boydo did that as well. And then another player in the secondary I want to give praise to, who started the game, Justin Gardner, with the interception. The second one for Spencer Rattler of the three today in K-State upset victory. Justin Gardner stepped up and made a huge play as well. He had 3 solo tackles as well as that pick on Spencer. So this is what we're going to see all year long right here. You have guys go out, and you're going to hear us talk about it really all year long. Guys going to have to step up, and these two that I want to call out specifically, and not to even mention Eli Huggins, who was huge in Arkansas State a couple weeks ago. He did not play today either. So I just want to give a shout out to those two guys. They made some big plays today for K-State.
Huge plays. And you know, obviously, Justin Gardner had the big interception. But, you know, mentioning Ecal Boydo, you know, he was, man, I felt like they were calling his name a lot.
Yeah, they're calling his name a lot.
You know, and in a good way. You know, you can call a quarterback's name a lot in a bad way, too.
Yep.
So it wasn't, I thought it was in a good way. In fact, he played so well, you know, that made me think, it's going to be kind of hard to take him off the field. You know, it's going to be kind of hard to take Moido off the field when K-State gets a little healthier at corner. I'm not saying that they won't take him off the field. They very well may. But the way he played today, it's kind of hard to, to take a guy off that that seems to really be making a positive impact on multiple plays. Now, don't get me wrong. He had some breakdowns out there from time to time. But, he definitely had a really good game. And obviously, Justin Gardner took advantage of an underthrown ball and was able to get in front of that route and really make the Oklahoma receiver, I believe it was Mims on the play, really play more defense and just kind of boxed him out and got that thing. So that was just a really smart play from him to see that ball being underthrown and then really kind of approaching it like a rebound, Eddie. Going up and getting a rebound in basketball.
Pretty much, yeah.
Boxing out Mims, making Mims play defense, gain position, knowing that that's his football, and going up and snagging it. So you got to give him credit for that. So I'd love to see it.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Eddie Gruden III, Alex Aiden, the Purple Project Podcast, two K-State alums, / Wildcat, maybe one nine alums as well. K-State, we saw K-State knock off, / upset Oklahoma for the second straight season, 38-35, this time in Norman, Oklahoma. Who would have thought about that, K-State fans? Not none of us, and I'm sure pretty much 99.9% of you guys out there, wherever you live here in Manhattan, Kansas, or elsewhere, thought that we will get our butts beat. But again, today was a different story. K-State was down 21 at one point and rallied all the way back to win this game. We'll talk offense in a second after the mini break. We'll talk offense in the second half of the podcast. But yeah, and I want to bring up something here real quick again before handing out the grades. Wyatt Hubert had another quiet game, and despite that, big game for Khalid Duke. Meanwhile, on the other side, Wyatt Hubert, very quiet, except for calling his name out for penalties, uncharacteristic penalties, on top of that, especially in the first quarter. So I don't know what's up with our boy Wyatt Hubert over there, but he had a set, and that was about it. Everything else, they're calling out penalties on Wyatt Hubert, so going forward. Going forward, you want your superstar to step up, make plays. But hey, when you have Khalid Duke over there warming up a little bit, it's not too bad. But eventually, big game. Wyatt Hubert was quiet in this game, but Khalid Duke really stepped up in his first full game action for K-State there. So that's something we got to keep an eye going forward. Yeah, Wyatt Hubert so far in two games, I know he has two sacks. And I'm just going to give my grade here right now. Wyatt Hubert, two sacks. He's been very, very quiet. So he's going to have to, we knew the attention was going to be on him. We all knew that going in. We can't be stupid. We can't be all stupid, right? So this is our star player on the defensive line. So, yeah, Hubert's been quiet. So other than making penalties. So I thought for me that was very uncharacteristic, especially for a guy that's very smart on the defensive line. So the grade for me, they gave up 35 points, but damn, the effort, they were fighting, especially in that first half, while Skylar Thompson and those guys were very slow, out of the blocks. Like I said early in this podcast, I'm also going to give them a B. they get a very high B on that. They really put the clamps down Spencer Rattler in the second half of this game. They really made him look like a fool, especially in the second half. At one, I believe there was a stat that I came across on Twitter, or somebody said it in the broadcast. Can't remember who, but I know I came across a stat on my Twitter feed. Spencer Rattler, the last few possessions was like 5 or 12 or something like that in a pick. Something similar to that. So K-State, Joe Klaiman, we saw a little bit more aggressiveness that we wanted to see. We wanted to see that aggressiveness, and we saw that in the front four of K-State. Oklahoma had still has the best offensive line in the country. boy, we made them look silly in the second half of this game. Oklahoma was making all kind of mistakes up front, and K-State was able to take advantage of it up front. Solid B for me, man. What you got, Alex?
Yeah, definitely. And a few things I want to touch on here before I get to the grade. First off, with K-State, I thought more than anything on defense what they were doing, Eddie, is they were winning the battle. We said last week, hey, it's not that, you know, it's not some sexy topic to talk about, but, you know, K-State needs to win at the line. They need to win in the trenches. You know, on the offensive line, you got to win your battle. You know, you got to win your matchup. The offensive line's got to win their battle. Same thing with the defensive line. What K-State did defensively better this game, in my opinion, was win at the line of scrimmage. I felt like that's what they did. You know, they obviously dialed some more stuff up, and they were able to do more of what they wanted to do in this game than they did against Arkansas State. I didn't think that the defense was so bland, but I still thought that were going to have to get more creative, Eddie, to get pressure on Oklahoma. I didn't think that they would be able to win up front with four guys consistently as they did. And because they were doing that, Eddie, I felt like they didn't have to take as many gambles. They didn't have to do as many type linebacker blitzes or anything like that I was expecting, or maybe it's a safety blitz or, you know, some risky plays that leave you vulnerable at other spots, but you're trying to get pressure, and you've got to be aggressive to get pressure. I felt like they didn't have to do that because they're like, we're winning up front with four, and as long as we're winning up front with four, we're going to give our back end help so the safeties don't get and the corners don't get beat over the top. And we're going to make them beat us in that middle ground. And that you know, they can get 15, 20-yard chunk play, but we're going to get pressure with the four. We'll give them the 15 to 20-yard chunk play. They're not going to beat us deep. And that's really what they did, and it worked. It ultimately ended up working. And if they weren't able to get pressure, maybe you would have seen them dial up some more creative stuff that I thought they were going to have to do. But ultimately, they did do what they had to do, which was get pressure and protect that back end by getting pressure. That was kind of vulnerable with the guys that were missing. You mentioned the 99.9% of K-State fans, didn't think they were going to win this game, and you were correct. There was one K-State fan that I've been saying for 2 weeks, hey, I'm telling you, I like their chances against OU, and you already know who it is. And it's someone we mentioned a million times in the podcast, but for the last 2 weeks, even after they lost to Arkansas State, I mean, Keith and Valentine was adamant, that's not the team, guys. That's not the K-State team. Trust me. I like them against OU. I like their chances against OU. And I kept tweeting, being like, what are you? What? Like, what? Did we watch the same game against Arkansas State, man? And clearly know something I don't, because I was
incorrect on that.
So, kudos to him. He's in the 0.01% apparently that thought they had a legitimate shot. But for me, and the one other thing I wanted to get out quickly, Eddie, was while K-State got to Spencer Rattler, I really think that he's going to be a really good QB in the Big 12 for years to come. He made some mistakes today, but man, Eddie, I felt like I could see the potential that was in him. I think that he looks like a guy that is going to be a problem for the next few years in the Big 12 as a freshman. I'm hoping that we can have success like that against him in the future, but I'm not holding my breath. because I looked at him and I saw a guy who seems like he was rattled late, but he seems like he's a really smart quarterback. He seems like he has a really accurate ball, and he seems to have that big playability. And, you know, they didn't have any huge plays over against K-State today, because K-State did a really nice job protecting against it, but he looks like the real deal. And I think what we saw from him today late was a freshman that hadn't faced any adversity as a starter, you know, and it was the first time he was in that type of situation. Prior to that, I thought that he'd played a really, really good game. So, I think he's going to be a really, really good quarterback. If I was an Oklahoma fan, I wouldn't be too worried about it personally. You know, that's part of being a freshman. and playing your second, you know, second start and first Big 12 start and first time really facing adversity. He's under a lot of pressure, as we already know. So just wanted to get that in. But with the grade, I'm with you, Eddie. I'm going to give him a B. You know, I can't give the K-State defense an A giving up over 500 yards. That's just never going to happen. Sorry. It was a great performance, but I'm not going to give you anything higher than a B when you give up 35 points and you score, you know, you give up over 500 yards. That's not a shot at K-State's defense because Oklahoma may get that every single game they play this year because they're that explosive offensively. But I can't give them more than a B because they still did give up a ton of yards and they still did let Spencer Rattler throw for almost 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. You know, he still had a completion percentage of 30 of 41, so he still has completed most of his balls, and you know, Oklahoma still ran for 130, so yeah, I'm sorry, I can't give you more than a B. With that said, though, I can give them a B for the fact that they were able to hold Oklahoma. They were put in a lot of bad situations early. I think that's, let's address that. I was not happy with the way that K-State was playing in the first half. I thought the offense was putting the defense in bad positions. I thought the coaching staff was putting the defense in bad positions by some of the decisions that they made. And I think that was part of what you saw from the defense. They were on the field for most of the first half, it felt like. So, didn't think they were put in good positions. But, look, they forced turnovers, Eddie. They made big plays, and they got stops when they needed stops. So, they kept them in the game just enough. They forced the turnovers. K-State wasn't able to do anything with most of them, but they were able to do something, I believe, with the final one, if I recall. And then, obviously, the interception sealed the game, which was just enormous. So, with the stops that they got, with the turnovers, keeping them in the game, I think a B is a good grade for them.
And to wrap up the line on Spencer Rattler here real quick, yes, at one point through most of that game, though, he had only 2 incompletions, and both of those were interceptions. And the first one was by Elijah Sullivan, who got that pick, Justin Gardner, then, of course, J-Mac to close out Oklahoma. Rattler, 30 of 41, 3 picks, 4 touchdowns, as Alex mentioned, and 387 yards through the air. Yes, that's almost over 400. Seth McGowan on the ground had a touchdown run. Total of 78 yards on 13 carries in leading receivers. Actually, there's 5 with really a tie for first, really, when you look at 5 catches from 3 different receivers between Marvin Mims, Austin Stugner, and, of course, Rambo as well. Of course, Austin Snagner leading them in the yards as well with 5 catches and 83 yards. Mims had 2 of those touchdowns thrown by Spencer Rattler right there. So that's grades right there on the defensive side. We're actually going to take a quick timeout on the Pro Project Podcast. And when we return, we're going to play some music. We're going to come back on real fast. Well, we can talk all night, but the offense steps up in the second half, and we'll be back after this mini timeout.
The Purple Project Podcast will be back after these messages.
Back with the Purple Project Podcast. Once again, this is episode number 24 of the K-State Podcast, Purple Project Podcast, K-State Athletics. recording on this Saturday night, September 27th, 2020, where this afternoon, K-State knocked off Oklahoma for the second straight season. Chris Hyman owns Lincoln Riley 2-0. And this is another statement win in the program, as this program continuing to make the right steps for getting back to being that team week in, week out, 83rd here in Manhattan, Kansas, out west, out there in San Diego, California. Gave out grades to this little team in defense, and finally, I will say the best for last, the offense, but led by none other than Skylar Thompson. I mean, man, Arkansas State was the game of the definition of a game for Skylar Thompson, but you can say the same thing for this game as well. Skylar Thompson putting up big numbers, throwing over 300 yards in this game. I talked about we talked about this here tonight on the podcast. It took quite a bit for K-State's offense to warm up a little bit. And boy, oh boy, they got rolling in this one. And Courtney Massingham, and I believe we talked about this a little bit on the last episode, they needed to get aggressive a little bit in their offense game. And they definitely did that in this game, hitting some huge plays. And I believe the lead coaches listened to us a little bit while, you know, about Deuce Vaughn getting him active. He started the game, Alex, and everybody pretty much called it. Whether you're listening to other K-State podcasts, I know a few podcasts wanted that change. Also, I know another person, I won't call him out, he agreed with me that Harry Trotter was not the featured back. And look what we found here. Deuce, double Deuce Vaughn. He made huge plays. And then Skylar Thompson making some big plays down the field to another freshman running back. Down here, Keon Mosey with a big play in the second half of the game. We saw Jakeda Wright. We saw him for only one carry in this game. Tyler Burns got two more carries, more than he did at Arkansas State. Still want to see a little bit more, but it is what it is. But you can't complain too much when it seemed like today, Alex, that Deuce Vaughn, I know Skylar Thompson had three more touchdowns to the ground last year. Had four against Oklahoma, seven touchdowns total. And if Skylar were to come back next year, which, no offense to Skylar Thompson, but, I mean, hopefully he does not, but Skylar Thompson, total of seven touchdowns in two meetings against Oklahoma in the last two games. And Deuce Vaughn, the story of this ball game, Alex, big play on the ground, eight carries for 51 yards, including that touchdown to tie the game there when K-State almost went for two there, which really opened our eyes there. But luckily there's a penalty on us and we kicked the tying field goal there. My mind was blown at that decision there. But Deuce Vaughn on the ground, eight carries, 51 yards, a touchdown. But receiving, he led all receivers in yardage, 129. He gashed the Sooner defense, defense versus the put it like that. Bradley Moore had four more catches for 31 yards, but today it was all about Skylar Thompson and our man Deuce Vaughn making Oklahoma defense pay the price.
Yeah, that is true, Eddie. K-State with the running game, State coming in, For Deuce Vaughn, I felt like K-State needed to get the ball in his hands, needed to get the ball to him in open space, let him make plays, let him use his speed, let him utilize his speed. At the same time, I said, you don't want him to touch the ball 20 times a game.
Right,
you don't want that. I said anywhere in that 10 to 12 to 15 range was good for the touches that you want to get for Deuce Vaughn. Well, K-State got him 12 touches. Perfect. Perfect amount of touches. He had eight carries, as you mentioned. He had four receptions. He had 129 yards on those four receptions. And absolutely enormous. Obviously had the big runs, and he had, Mr. Mathematician over here, doing what many would consider simple math, but not me. He had over 170 total yards. It was 100 and about 180. It was about 180 total yards, Eddie, that he had. And it was just fantastic. He showed off that speed, that shiftiness, that elusiveness that he has, and the true weapon that he is. Now, is it going to be that easy for him every game? No. It's not going to be that easy for him every game. And that's not, you know, I'm not saying, it's not a shot nor a compliment or anything towards Oklahoma's defense. That has nothing to do with Oklahoma's defense. But point being, you know, it's not going to be that easy for him every week, because there were times where he had nothing but green in front of him. And
he did. Yep. Know,
but there were also times where he legit made a guy miss. I remember one run where he made three straight guys miss. It looked very Darren Sproles-like. And not saying he's Darren Sproles. Obviously not saying that, but it looked very Darren Sproles-like, the type of run that he had. And that was, you know, huge. That was absolutely huge for him. And K-State needed it more than anything. K-State needed that jolt that he was able to give them offensively. So that was the big thing. Quickly, I want to touch on the two-point conversion. I knew I would want to mention something right when I started this, and I forgot what it was. So with the two-point conversion, Eddie, I said when K-State was down, when K-State got a touchdown, and they got the ball, when Oklahoma got the ball, I said to my mom, I said, this is looking way too far ahead. But if you get a stop, and you get the ball, and you get a score, do you go for two, or do you kick the extra point? And my mom said, it probably depends on the time. And I was like, yeah, that's probably a good point. And so K-State went down, and they scored, and there were 8 minutes left. And I said, okay, there's 8 minutes. You know, I probably kicked the extra point here. I said, but look, I said I get going for two. I told her, if there were 4 minutes left, I'd probably go for two here, because in my mind it would be okay. Do I have a better chance of beating Oklahoma in overtime, or do I have a better chance of getting this two-point conversion against Oklahoma and weighing those two out? And I personally felt like you have a better chance of getting that two-point conversion than beating Oklahoma. Do you want to win this game, or are you going to play not to lose? Because it felt a lot like K-State was playing not to lose in the first half. Heck, the first 2.5 quarters. There were a lot of play calls, a lot of decisions that made me feel like you're playing not to lose, but you're losing. So that doesn't even make sense. So I liked the aggressive. I liked the aggressive call there. I liked the initial go for two option. Now, were they actually going to go for two there, Eddie? I don't know. I don't know if they were trying to draw them off, see if they could get a few feet, and then go for two. If they did get it, and then if they couldn't draw off, then you know, just take the penalty and then kick the extra point. I don't know if they actually did get drawn off and they were planning on going two for two. Not exactly sure there, but either way, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought about that, Eddie, right when K-State got that touchdown to get to one score. I said, do you go for two if you get the ball back and score? I mean, I was thinking about that like at the beginning of the fourth quarter, so. Just interesting that you brought that up, because that was something that was actually in my mind for a while. But getting back to the offense, and Skylar Thompson, he's obviously the talk of the day. I tweeted out, dumb of me. I think Skylar was on Twitter, Eddie. I think he was on Twitter and saw my tweet, and then he just went off after he saw my tweet and said, oh, no, Alex isn't going to show me up like that on Twitter. No. That has to be the explanation. I tweeted a handful of things about the offense, actually, Eddie. But I said, I'm sorry, but Skylar sucks. I'm so sick of seeing this open receivers every game.
I think I read that earlier. Yeah, I think that's right.
And I tweeted it after he missed a wide open guy, and the offense was sputtering, and they were getting nothing going. I was just getting so frustrated. It was a wide open guy. The offense was sputtering, and Skylar just it was Malik Knowles.
It was Knowles. Yep. Yeah. Knowles. Yep. Yeah.
And I was just like, they had no big plays. They were doing nothing on offense. The defense was sucking air, doing everything to try to keep them in the game. And the scout threw that pass. I just was just so fed up. And so I tweeted that, and then I proceeded to tweet early in the second half when K-State got that 3-and-out after they were down 21-7, and they got 3-and-out like a minute in. And I just tweeted, I said, this offense is so bad, and the play calling's horrendous, and this defense is giving them a shot, but this offense is not taking advantage. The defense is going to end up breaking, and I do think the defense was on the verge of end up breaking there.
I thought so too, yeah.
The third, yeah. But when I tweeted that about Skyler, literally I think the next play was that throw to Sebastian Taylor, where he just went over the top and then connected to Sebastian on a beautiful throw. And then Tanner Barth, who you know, he was with us at the Wildcat 91.9.
Yes, sir. Yep.
He tweeted at me and he said, man, I was about to tweet that about Skyler, but I decided to hold off on another player too. I said, good call, man. Good call. So it was just funny the way that went out, because I was bashing the offense for that whole first half about, oh my gosh, and I was frustrated with Skyler, I was frustrated with all. And I don't, by the way, despite what some people may say, I don't regret what I said, Eddie. I meant what I said in the first half. The offense looked horrible. It looked awful in the first half. And, you know, people can say, well, yeah, you tweeted that now, you know, how do you feel about it now? I feel the exact same about it as when I tweeted it. The offense looked horrible, and Skyler was missing open guys, and it looked like the same old show. And I, you know, and it was frustrating. And who could have seen this coming? Who could have seen what this offense did in the second half coming? I'm sorry. If you claim that you saw it coming after what we saw in the first half, I don't believe you. I just don't believe you, because it was so out of the blue, and it happened so fast. And they just got rolling. And it was just unbelievable. Yep. what Vince did in the second half. I mean, they just flipped a switch, and they went on. I have not seen K-State's offense like that. Have we seen their offense just flip a switch and all of a sudden look like the Chiefs forever in the Skylar Thompson era? I mean, I can't remember a flurry like that. That's what Skylar Thompson as the quarterback. I just can't remember that quickly. I mean, K-State was scoring on 2-3 plays on practically every drive. It was just unbelievable. They were scoring so fast. They were scoring so fast that I was beginning to wonder, is the defense getting enough of a breather on the bench because they're scoring so fast? I mean, that's how quickly they were striking. And it started with Skyler. Skyler was making plays. He was connecting with Deuce Vaughn, obviously. Deuce had about 130 yards receiving. And that was big time. He obviously connected to the big ball of the Sebastian Taylor, who continues to make impressive plays and kind of make kind of carve his spot in that starting offense, and really impressing me at least at receiver. And then obviously we mentioned Briley Moore. He obviously looks like he's going to be a big part of this offense this year. Caught 4 other balls. It was only for 31 yards, but. And then you obviously, we mentioned, he hit Keon Bosey on that nearly 80-yard play down the sideline. Once again, it wasn't Skyler's best throw. Mosey had to stop. He had to come back to the ball.
Yeah, come back.
But he did have to come back, and you'd like to see him hit him in stride there, because that would have been a touchdown. But still, there was no one over there. He got the ball to him, and K-State was able to proceed and score. And the most impressive thing for me, Eddie, was the traits that I knew Skyler. I've talked about this on the podcast, and I tweeted this out shortly after. I said, for all the hate, or not all the hate, all the how tough I am, for how tough I am on Skyler, I got to give him credit. He plays with guts. He plays with grits. He never quits. He just keeps going and going and going. And he truly never feels like he's out of the game. And he just plays like a warrior. Doesn't mean that I may like the way he plays all the time, but he plays like a warrior, and you don't ever question his toughness. I mean, I don't think that that's something that we ever question. The guy had a full calf, and he goes out there, and he's, he, you going toe-to-toe with these Oklahoma defensive linemen on QB sneak after QB sneak and quarterback run and option here and taking hits and delivering balls and just making plays and really just willing that offense in these late game situations. So I don't think you can give Skyler enough credit for what he did. And obviously this is the most yards that he's thrown for in a game in his time at K-State. 334, 18 to 25, 334 yards, touchdown, QBR of over 83. So obviously, when you look at the amount of yards that he threw for, that was great. And look, he only had 9 carries for 10 yards, but he had 3 touchdowns rushing. And I don't care about the yardage, Eddie. The thing is the 3 touchdowns, because when K-State was in those situations where they needed a score, they were a yard away, they were 2 yards away. Skyler found a way to punch the ball in. He found a way to say, I don't care if I have a pulled calf. I don't care what pain I'm feeling right now. It's kind of like what we saw against Mississippi State last year when he had the hand injury and was cramping and having some dehydration stuff, and he still willed them in that game. It's kind of the same thing. He had the pulled calf, but he just kind of willed that team through it. And look, he did enough. He did enough, and just a spectacular performance from Skyler. And man, if K-State's offense can get clicking the way that they did in the second half, they can be really scary. They can be a really, really scary football team. I think the biggest question is, and the biggest thing, and this is bigger than just Oklahoma, but can they do that again? It's something that was very impressive what they did in the second half. 24 unanswered on OU on the road. I mean, that is, I can't even begin to explain how impressive that is. Outscore them 17-0 in the fourth quarter, scoring on 2 and 3 plays nearly every drive down the stretch. But can you do it against Texas Tech next weekend? Can you do it again? Can you go put up 30-plus? Can you go put up over 400 yards total offense? Can Skyler go throw for 300 again? Or doesn't even need to throw for 300 again, but can he go throw? Can he go throw for over 200, 200, 250? Can K-State do that again? And then can they do it in their next game again against TCU? That's what I'm curious about. That's what I want to see. It was super exciting to see what they did offensively, but I got to see more of it to believe it, if that makes sense, Eddie. As great as it was, and credit should be given to Deuce, credit should be given to Skyler, credit should be given to the offensive line, for what they did late, but I'm just going to have to see more of that to buy it, because what we saw in the first half was more of what we've seen, and I guess we'll see as time goes on, but K-State clearly has more weapons. Deuce Vaughn is obviously a huge threat in the backfield, and Skyler deserves a ton of credit for the way that he played in the second half and for really putting the team on his back and saying, follow my lead.
K-State with a big upset win over Oklahoma, 38-35 for the second straight year, this time in Norman, Oklahoma. There, yeah, Skyler, it'll be interesting to see going forward how he does. Yeah, I mean, he's been a little banged up to start this year, but gutsy as hell with this performance here this afternoon against Oklahoma. And I talked about turnovers earlier in this podcast. K-State scoring, capitalizing on 14-0 in that critical column. So you got to win that battle. K-State did that here this afternoon against Oklahoma. Third-ranked Oklahoma, I might add. They won't be third no more. First downs here to kind of run through these real fast here. First downs were clearly, when you look at the stats, yeah, you would have thought that Oklahoma would have won this ball game, but obviously they did not. We knocked them off 28-10. I had to double check. Is that right? But yeah, Oklahoma 28-10 in first downs. Total, of course, 17 of those through passing yards for Oklahoma. K-State had 3 first downs on the ground, 6 through the air. Like you said, Alex, they're just scoring at will. They're really scoring fast. And yeah, it's going to be see if they can carry this momentum against a not so good Tech defense, which they blew a big lead against Texas And we'll get to that here. I'll have your take because I'm going to do a separate episode on that. But I'll get your take on that before we end this podcast. But, yeah, total net yards rushing. Oklahoma, clearly, like you said, Alex, 130 to 66. And, yeah, some of those were right near the goal line, like you mentioned. And through the air, wow, this was really tight. 387 to Skylar Thompson's 334. Total offense, K-State put up 400 yards exactly against that inconsistent OU defense to, again, K-State still needs a little work to do. But on the defensive side of things, giving up 517 yards, you would have thought we lost the game like that. But somehow K-State, and they didn't break. I mean, they did not break in this game. It gave the offense finally a chance to do what they did. And, man, that was some offensive performance right there. Kind of remnants of last year when we knocked them off here in Manhattan. Sebastian Taylor opened up the scoring for K-State with that 30-yard touchdown pass from Skylar Thompson. Skylar Thompson put that thing where Sebastian go up and get it. And K-State, they were down 21 twice in this ball game. Number 21. K-State overcome that deficit, which ties the school record, coming back 21 in this game, twice in this game. Wow, it is a total team effort in this game. There is so much that I can pull out, but I'm going to save a majority of it for the preview of Texas Tech. So, you know, by the way, Alex, you mentioned Darren Sproles real quickly here. I just wanted to pull this out of the hat here before giving the offensive grade here. Skylar Thompson now, total of, this all totals up with the rushing touchdowns and passing touchdowns throughout his K-State career. 45 career total touchdowns now. He moved past Darren Sproles for 7th place in K-State school history. That's huge for a guy that's been controversial here in his career for K-State, no doubt here. So I'm going to go ahead and give the grade right there. Man, I mean, Alex, you kind of nailed it on the head there. I want to see the consistency. We did not see it in the first half. And we saw a glimpse of this a little bit early on, especially in that first drive with Arkansas State. They're capitalizing there with Skylar Thompson and Phillip Brooks to start off the season. I thought right there, I thought we were going to put him on Arkansas State, but we know the result, what happened there. So, yeah, you nailed it right, nailed it at home, Alex. We want to see this consistency there. K-State is loaded offensively, despite all this COVID issues and whatnot, which, again, it's been well documented on this podcast. It will continue to be an issue throughout the 2020 season. Yeah, so, I mean, they're loaded. I mean, we didn't see Youngblood that much on the field, but it didn't matter because you have Deuce Vaughn now on the field. You don't want to get him banged up, but when he's on the field, he's going to make something happen for you. And that's what we saw here today, burning the Sooner defense on the ground and through the air. Man, I got to give him an A, to be honest with you here. A straight up A, because it looked gloomy in the first half. Slow start and everything else like that. I thought, oh man, Oklahoma's going to run us out of Norman here. But K-State flipped the switch in the second half, and it turned out K-State ran Oklahoma's defense out of their own building in this ball game. Very impressed. And next week, back here in Manhattan, is Texas Tech. And Texas Tech gave up 65 to Texas today. Yeah. And I definitely want to see this momentum carry. But again, you never know with this COVID stuff. It's going to be a continued discussion of a topic. Don't want to continue to beat a dead horse, but it's just going to be a topic for discussion each and every week on this podcast, as well as the other podcast, K-State Podcast. So I'm giving them an A. A tremendous job there today. Skylar Thompson, Courtney Messingham, kind of just opened up the playbook finally a little bit and threw the ball down the field there with a couple of those running backs. So that they're going to be a force to be working with here as we move along in the 2020 season. Huge, huge offensive numbers today for K-State. Alex, what you got?
Fun fact for you, Eddie. We talked last week about first time K-State I said, Eddie, when's the last time K-State started 0-2, do you think? Like, when, you know, that legitimately is probably going to happen. Like, when was the last time that happened?
Yeah, we were talking about that. That was a sure thing.
They did. I thought it was a sure thing, and they threw this stat up today on TV. It said, first time K-State started 0-2, 1989, Bill Snyder's first year, which was my guess. That was my guess. I said it had to be Bill Snyder's first year, or pre-Bill Snyder. Well, it turns out it was his first year in 1989. I believe that was his first year, Eddie. I think it was 1989. So it's going to stay in 1989. That is, 2020 is not going to be replacing 1989 in the 0-2 category. It's going to live on in 1989. I love it. For K-State, offensively, I can't give them an A, Eddie, because I can't shake that first half out of my head. I was as impressive as the second half was, and as good as they were, and as dominant as they were, I couldn't shake the offensive line issues that they were having in the first half.
That's fair.
Having in the first half. The play calling, the issues they were having in the first half. I mean, I at one point I think Oklahoma was out yardage. Their yardage was like 178-25 or something early on. Like, I just couldn't. I even despite the crazy win, I can't get that quite out of my mind how bad they were to start offensively. But they were as bad as they were in the first half, they were that good in the second half. And I think that gets them to as close to an A as they can get. So I'll give them a B+. Look, and if they'd have gotten even just a couple first downs in that first half and just moved the chains a couple more times or
made
conversions, I probably would have given them an A, but they just looked like they were frozen. Aside from that one pass to Sebastian Taylor. So, obviously the really bad miss to Malik on touchdown, which is
that could have been another touchdown. Yeah.
Yeah, I just can't quite get that stuff out of my head, so I just can't give them an A. But I'll definitely give them a B+ because what they did in the second half was just extraordinary. I can't even begin to stress, Eddie, how difficult it is to be down 35-14 in Norman. You know, and I don't care if there's a 20% fan capacity. You're in Norman. You're down 35-14. That's not supposed to happen, Eddie. That is not. You're not unranked teams. You're not supposed to go on the road against top five teams, get down three scores in the second half, and then win. I mean, it doesn't happen, Eddie. I don't care who your defense is. That just doesn't happen. K-State needs to get a ton of credit for what they did offensively, and because it was simply amazing. It was simply amazing what they did, and the fact that they flipped the switch just that quick. And they just, well, I didn't think they were capable of it. I legitimately did not think this offense was capable of what they did. They've had big games. Don't get me wrong. They scored 48 against OU last year. But it was different. It wasn't the same. It was just the way that they scored, the way they operated to me just seemed a little different. This just, going, everything going so bad to so good, so fast, and you just being so explosive, and Oklahoma's defense looking so lost out there. I mean, it was just like, literally, I use this analogy a lot on the show, but it looks like just a knife going through butter. Okay, so it's offense out there. It was just unbelievable. It was just so effortless. And I just haven't seen them play like that, so effortless on offense, and just getting so many chunk play after chunk play, and score after score after score. And I can't remember ever thinking, oh, this is money. K-State's definitely going to get a touchdown here. I can't remember thinking that was Skyler's the QB, and I thought that today late in the game. So you got to give them credit for that, so I'll give them a B+.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Eddie Gruder III here in Manhattan, Kansas, out there in San Diego, California, the Pearl Project Podcast. Here coming to a close, Wildcats knock off the Sooners for a second straight year. This time, win in Norman this afternoon, 38-35. come from behind effort, down 21 in Norman. And yeah, you nailed it again. I don't care if it's 25% capacity or a sold out crowd. Yeah, it's very tough to go down there and Norman play like they did, but for whatever reason, it seems like K-State knows how to play with his back against the wall down there, and he did just that right there. So K-State, led by another gritty performance by Skylar Thompson and company, pull out another win in Norman. Kind of a wrap the line on Skylar Thompson here real quick before we talk Tech just a few minutes, or I should say out to talk Tech, because I'm going to do a little bit more further preview later on this week. But 18 of 25, 334 yards through the air for Skylar. A touchdown. That, of course, was Sebastian Taylor. And Skylar Thompson on the ground, like Alex said, majority of his runs were near the goal line. 9 carries for 17 yards and 3 more touchdowns against the Oklahoma Sooners, who came in number 3 in the country. And we don't know where they'll stand. I mean, we'll know when this podcast comes out on Tuesday night where they stand. But at least for now, that with everybody else coming back into play, I mean, yeah, there are more uncertainty. The Big Ten is going to be starting play later on next month. The Pac-12, I found out, will be playing in November, which is weird. But, yeah, that's a whole nother discussion. But, yeah, but Oklahoma is going to be falling out of the – we'll see how far they fall out there. But, all right, so I mentioned Texas Tech, K-State's next opponent. I'll do a further more analysis on them. There'll be a separate episode later on this week, so there's going to be 2 episodes. So I wanted to get Alex's thoughts on here to kind of close out with Tech here. But yeah, Texas Tech had a 2-touchdown lead with 3 minutes to go against the 8th-ranked Longhorns, Alex, and they pulled an Atlanta Falcons. That stunt. 63-56. Sam Ellinger does Sam Ellinger things. They recovered an onside kick and then later on tied the ball which led to a tie game there. And boy, I thought Texas Tech was going to get it. I seriously thought they were going to get them in Lubbock. This game was in Lubbock, and they pull up. And this is all totally on me. Of course, I had to throw my team under the bus again. But they pull in Atlanta Falcons on this one, 63-56, and we will see Alan Bowman, Alex, next Saturday here in Manhattan. It's a 2:30 Central Time kick on FS1's. Alan Bowman, 31-52, 325 yards. He had that 5 touchdown passes, 5 touchdowns, and for the most part, he outplayed Sam Ellinger. I thought this should have been in the bank. And Tech did self-destructed in the last 3 minutes of this ball game. 5 touchdowns, you would think. 5 touchdowns by your starting quarterback would win this game. It did not. And he had 3 picks in this game. Missed that. So, Alan Bowman, 3 interceptions in this ball game for him as well. So, I mean, last year we did not see Alan Bowman. He was knocked out of the same game last year. So, you're heading into this game, K-State has momentum coming back home to Manhattan for this ball game again. You never know, week to week now, you better have your big boy pants on. I mean, Chris Klieman going to have these guys ready to play, I'm pretty sure of it. I mean, we've seen it now for a whole year and change now. This was a huge game for K-State, and obviously we didn't think, our predictions said we didn't think they would win this game, but K-State proved it on the field. They manned up in the second half and got the job done. Now you turn around and you play Tech, who is probably going to be, let's face it, a little pissed that they lost that ball game. And they're going to come into Manhattan looking to prove a point here. They have weapons on the outside, but their defense has been suspect for years. At least since I've been in Manhattan, they have not had a good defense whatsoever. I expect K-State to carry that momentum. It'll be a shame for them to come here, to come back home and to lay an egg, especially what they did against Arkansas State a couple weeks ago. So, kind of to close this out, Alex, I know we're running short on time here, but to kind of close out in this podcast, what do you expect? What are your thoughts about Tech, and what are your predictions going into this ball game next week?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Eddie, I think this game is going to be very interesting because we saw week one, a K-State game, K-State team that did not look good, clearly. We saw a K-State team in week two that made us just go, holy bleep, while we watched them against Oklahoma. I think that we are a little, we think, well, you know, this is more of the K-State team we expected, but I told you, I need to see more. I really do. Mm-hmm. This Texas game, I feel like we're going to learn a lot more about K-State. Okay, what are they? Are they more of what we saw against Arkansas State? Or are they more of what we saw against Oklahoma? Can they, you know, are they still going to be riding Oklahoma high when Tech comes in? Are they going to get overconfident because they beat Oklahoma? You know, are they going to have a letdown? Or is it going to motivate them to say, wow, like, we can win the Big 12. Like, guys, we can play in the championship game. Like, let's make a push. Let's just go all in. Here we go. We're motivated. You know, and it just drives them even more. You know, which one will it do? Defensively, you know, you give a lot of yards against Oklahoma, but you forced turnovers. You made plays. You bent, but you didn't break. Can you do it against a Texas Tech offense that, you know, there's a bunch of Texas Tech jokes that we can all make out there? But their offense is good. Their offense is really good. And I personally, just a little plug, one of their best receivers, TJ Vasher, he's a Wichita Falls product of Ryder High School. I got to cover him when he was in Wichita Falls. When I worked there, and I did a little bit of sports stuff. I got to cover him when he played a little bit of football at Ryder. I covered him when he played a little bit of basketball as well there. The dude's a stud. The dude is a beast. Wouldn't be surprised if he plays. TJ Vasher, wouldn't be surprised if we saw him playing football on Sundays. He is a really, really good receiver. Texas Tech's got weapons. And they got a lot of power on that offense. So defense is going to have quite the challenge. But we know that. I mean, you know, air raid offense, we know how it goes with Tech. You know, if the defense can get stops, I think that they'll have a good shot. The biggest question, alluding back to what I said last, Eddie, is the offense. You're going up against a Texas Tech defense that, let's face it, you know, Texas Tech, that's not the best defense, Eddie. They don't have the best defense. I think we all know that. They've never been known for their defense. They clearly didn't look like it today. They gave up 63 points to Texas. They gave up the week before 30-some points to Houston Baptist. you've got to score on it, Eddie. I mean, you've got to score 30-plus, in my opinion, on this Texas Tech team. I just think you have to. You know, number one, I don't think that if you don't score 30, I don't think it'll be enough.
Because it's not going to be enough. I don't think it's going to be enough either.
Yeah, I don't think 30 will be enough. So number one, I think you need to score more to win. Number two, I would be a little discouraged if they scored under 30 on that defense, to be 100% honest. Because there should be opportunities for K-State. There should be opportunities offensively. And if they didn't score 30... the only way I could see them not scoring 30, Eddie, is if they didn't take advantage of those opportunities. And that would obviously be discouraging and be a step back for them. So, for me, I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think this Texas Tech, I think they're a really good team offensively. I think K-State finds a way to win this game. I'm going to go with the final score of, this is hard, Eddie. I don't think Ace is going to score 40. I'm starting to dabble with 40. I'm not going to go that far, Eddie. 35-30. Ace is going to win 35-30. That was my initial instinct, and then I started to veer away, but nope, 35-30. I'm going to go 35-30. I think K-State is winning a majority of the game. I think that it, you know, they're able to stay just enough arm's length And they give up 30 exactly on defense, and they find a way to muster up 35. I would not be surprised, Daddy, if it ended up being 45-40. Wouldn't stun me. I was tempted to go into the 40s because that really wouldn't surprise me, but I'll go with 35-30. Not surprised if the score ends up a little higher than that. But I'll tell you what would be the most encouraging thing is if K-State came out and they just blew them out, they just come home, and they win the game. K-State comes home and they win 41-24, 41-27 or something like that. I mean, if they come out and they just have a real nice, comfortable win against Tech, I would, or even a blowout, I would be like, okay. You know, that week one was a fluke. This team's legit. This team is legit. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think it's going to be a closer game, partially because I don't think that Texas Tech is better than they were last year. I think Alan Bowman's a really good quarterback. I think he's got a lot of good weapons. And I don't think K-State's offense is going to go I don't think that they're going to necessarily move the ball the way they did in that second half, but I do think there's going to be opportunities for them throughout the game. To be able to take advantage of. But the biggest thing, Andy, we say this we'll say this every week, we just don't know who's going to be on the field. And that's going to be a big, that's going to play a big role in it. And we'll just have to see. But I'm really excited for the matchup. I'm really excited to see what happens. I'm really excited to see how K-State responds. And it's going to be quite the test for the defense.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, and I have my prediction on the next episode this week on the podcast. I'm saving that for the episode to come later on this week. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. Texas Tech coming here to Manhattan here next Saturday afternoon on FS1, 2:30 kickoff there. And yeah, I mean, Tech gave up 33 to Houston Baptist, what I never heard of before until this year. And I saw the majority of the Texas versus Texas Tech game today. So yeah, I mean, it's gonna be interesting to see how that happens here. But man, today though, K-State gets their first ever top 3 win against an opponent previously, and I'm gonna end the podcast like this. They're 0-16 against top 3 opponents until now. Until today, against Oklahoma. And actually, the other win to kind of debut there was in the 0-3 Big 12 Championship in KC there, where K-State knocked off Oklahoma in the Big 12 Championship game then. So, yeah, they a lot to be proud of today. If you're a K-State fan, you are happy, very happy out the outcome of this game, where we all thought that they were going to lose this game, but K-State bulked up. They strapped on the belts tight, and they knock off Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley for the second straight year, 38-35 in this one. I'm looking forward to next week, and Alex, hope we do this. Well, we are going to do this again, but looking forward to next week, man. It's going to be awesome. Purple Project Podcast is off and rolling here in 2020.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to next week. And, hopefully we're talking about another K-State victory. But, we'll have fun either way, like we said last week. But this one was a lot more fun than if we would have had to talk about a 35-14 loss.
That is correct. For Alex Aiden out there in San Diego, California. My name's Eddie Greer, the third here in Manhattan, Kansas. K-State upsets Oklahoma for the second straight season, 38-35. You have been listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Go Cats, and we'll talk to you on the next episode of Triple P. We are out.
Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.